minute. Crossfade.
The Daily Talk Show.
A conversation sometimes worth recording. With Josh Jensen and Tommy Jacket.
It's a Daily Talk Show, episode 158. Tommy Jacket, how is it in your car right now?
It's crack-a-lackin'. It's nice and warm, crispy. I was feeling sorry for myself until I drove to get a coffee and saw a homeless guy sleeping outside, and then I thought, shut the fuck up.
good thinking.
Yeah, it is an interesting one. There is a, and I don't know how I would tackle it personally, because I would have a mix of anger and empathy. There's the homeless guy I'm referring to. What he does is he sleeps in, like, basically the doorways of businesses in this little strip of shops in St Kilda, and it's kind of like, it's probably a good idea because it's like a bit of a nook, but then it sort of half goes out onto the walkway. But the thing is, for the businesses, it's very frustrating because when they get there in the morning, he's kind of like made a bit of a mess, and he does piss right where he sleeps. And my friends own a business where he sleeps, yeah. Right? And I've spoken to him before because I said, do you see that guy down there? Because he wasn't in their shop. And I said, you know, do you see the dude down there? And he's like, oh, yeah, he comes and sleeps in our sometimes, and he puts up a real fuss when we come in the morning. And he's called the cops a couple of times because he's been a bit disgruntled. And anyway, this morning I saw that he's in my friend's doorway to the shop. So it's a cafe, so he'll be there in probably 20 minutes' time because it's currently 5:40 a.m., but it's what do you do? It's a guy who probably isn't that mentally well and is battling. Like, how would you deal with that?
This the thing that I'm really struggling with at the moment is talking about my default thinking of what I think of straight away of these things.
Oh, yeah.
And versus the empathetic side. So I think that empathy doesn't necessarily come like first. I think sometimes first can be like critical thinking. I was even thinking about like during the day today, yesterday's show, where there was like, whenever I say anything slightly negative and actually name people out or call people out, I literally spend the whole day thinking, do I think that enough to go on the record and say that I disagree with potentially how Osher Ginsburg's done his fucking health mag thing, or revealing to the general public that I think Mayor Friedman's a bit of a pain in the ass, and I've just done it for a second time. But in a similar vein, with something like this, yes, you could default into, mate, just at the very least, don't piss in the door, just find somewhere else. Yeah. But obviously, if you're at a point where you don't have a house and you're having to sleep on the streets, then potentially the thought processes aren't the same, obviously, as what our thought processes are.
Yeah, 100%. I think for me, my empathy comes from seeing this guy. I've seen him for years around the traps. And you kind of see the state that he's in, and and you know, you just start feeling for somebody who you're seeing from afar, who's just obviously disturbed. Like at one point, he's abused my brother's wife, my sister-in-law.
Was she being an asshole though? Or
no, definitely not. He said something absolutely repulsive, but obviously not mentally well. And not sex pest-ish, if you're thinking that. Yeah. It was very much just like, he's a bit angry. Like you can tell he's just overweight and a bit angry. It's interesting seeing the homeless people come and go in St Kilda. You and I have spoken about this. We saw one in the city. Well, you and I were walking in the CBD and I just stopped. And you thought, here we go again. Tommy's talking,
what's going on?
To somebody. And then it's a homeless guy sitting down. And it was one of the ones from St Kilda that moved on. And so, yeah, you see them. Oh, my brother was in Chapel Street, where there's quite a few homeless. Yeah. And he said one night, one afternoon or something, whatever it was, he saw this guy that he went to school with that he just said looked like an absolute wreck. Like, he basically said he looked homeless, like what he was dressed in. He just said it was, like, freaky. You know, seeing someone that you knew and, you know, obviously you're thinking about the time, you probably, you know, memories come back about the times that you hung around them or you're at school together and you just see how someone's life has just fallen apart. It's so full on.
Yeah. Oh, well, I think what I've found the most difficult, and I've seen it specifically in Southeast Asia, in the US, in Turkey, where I am now, is people who are homeless or that are begging that and have disabilities. I find that really hard because, like, and I mean, it seems like a bit fucking rich to be like, oh, I'm a little bit sensitive. JJ's a bit sensitive. JJ doesn't like when he sees things that makes him uncomfortable. And I realize that comes from an epic level of privilege. But I know, I think I feel more uncomfortable because I think that for whatever reason, I feel like I've been hustled enough traveling and stuff that I don't necessarily pull the wallet out and give, but when I do see someone who is clearly physically unwell, I think that that's a lot harder not to, you know, give them something.
Yeah. I tell you what, Turkey, the moment, is like the saying, don't think about me in pink underwear. It's like all I can think about is Turkey, and all I'm seeing is people in Turkey. I've seen, like...
Wait, let's go back to this pink underwear thing. You know, what the fuck are you talking about?
So it's like when you say picture me in pink underwear.
What was the specific... stop thinking about you.
Yeah, exactly.
It's lace. It's very lacy.
Okay. What else? How's my body looking?
That's about it. Yeah, no, it's okay. It's very sort of specific to the region. No, I get what you said. The analogy I would have used is once you start, like I remember hearing that all red cars drive together. And so now, if you're in your car right now, if you watch, red cars tend to like to be near each other.
Fuck,
so they'll
that's
drive.
So good. Yeah. I'm going to think about that all day today. I've never heard that.
You see one red car, you always see another.
Yeah, well, so you're pretty much a red car, and all of the other people that I know are just red cars with you in Turkey.
So you're seeing people in Turkey?
Yeah, I tell you who's there. Dan from Cloakroom. He's there.
Oh, sick.
Somewhere. I don't know. Look at his Insta. He's there. Penelope, who I used to work with in Shepparton, she's listened to the show a couple of times. She's just been to Cappadocia.
Awesome.
And then, what's his name? He used to own Patch, Tommy D's old business partner. Yeah, there's a couple of people there. I must be like, it's either just because you're there, I'm thinking about it, or it's actually like a hip place to go at the moment. Do you think it's on that hip scale at the moment, or?
Yeah, I think it's got like a little bit of, I feel like there's a level of hashtag zaniness of going there. Maybe it's got that, I feel like it's the place that you want to go if you want to feel like you're a little bit fucking being a bit cultural. It's like, you know, look on the smart traveler warnings. It's a little bit up there. We're being a bit risque. We're nearly a dark traveler. But the reality is you arrive and it's a fucking amazing place and you feel like we've felt super safe. But I think it is probably... It's super inexpensive in regards to food and things like that. So we probably, for the two of us to eat, it's costing us around 12 to 15 bucks.
It's good.
And we're eating a shit ton of food. But it's just beautiful, great weather, super friendly people. Talking about Cappadocia or however the fuck you say it, and we'll work it out. Actually, just before we go on, I did get some feedback from one of Bree's friends, who Bree happened to send her flowers, and she listened to the gift giving episode, and then contacted and said, "Oh, just wanted to say thank you again." But she also said that
$100 Uber voucher probably was better.
Yeah, exactly. No, but she said something about swearing, I think, but it was something way more tame than I've been saying, like saying shit. I was thinking, wow, like we say a lot worse than that. But what was that? Oh, yeah, the Cappadocia, or however you say it. Bree, we're going through the itinerary, and thank you, Bree. Bree said I'm saying it right. Going through the itinerary, and it only just occurred to Bree today that the four-wheelers that we're on, is it like it didn't click to her what it is? She thought it was like some sort of like big four-wheel drive that we're all going to be in, rather than we're all going to be fucking zooming along in some like sand or some shit. So
she's scared of driving by herself. Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think so. Is it that you're scared of driving by yourself? Yeah, she's.
Can you please just tell Bree that I'm more concerned about you, Josh, driving than Bree. Yeah. I reckon Bree's got it covered, but I think
Tommy's more scared about me. Yeah, well, this is the thing. If people haven't had JJ on their radar in the last couple of years, and you're only new to the podcast, I've actually never mentioned this on the podcast, but when Bree and I were in Fiji about 2 years ago, I had GoPro footage of us at a golf course, and I'm in a golf cart, and I nearly flip the golf cart.
Oh no.
And Bree was screaming, and she said, "Josh, I told you." As like, because we went over a hill, and I was going sort of had my foot all the way down, and then came on the other side and just sort of nearly rolled the golf cart.
I've just got to pull you up. You do the same voice for your mum and for Bree.
yeah, it's a very sort of grating. It's only when I'm getting told off, to be clear.
Yeah, true. So you've never driven a four-wheeler, have you?
No. The only sort of vehicle that I've driven outside of a car and a golf cart was a motorbike when I was probably about 7 years old, and we were on this property. We didn't even know the people. It was like a friend of a friend, and like, oh, yeah, you can have a go at our Peewee 50 or Peewee 150 or whatever it was called. And I got on the motorbike, and as I was going down the hill really fast, my brother jumped out in front because he wanted to turn on the motorbike, and I just flipped that, and I broke all the front of the mud guard, and I had like bruising. So that's my only experience in sort of smaller type vehicles.
Just go slow. Don't make hard turns, and don't. Just be careful, because you can flip four wheelers pretty easily. Just go fast and turn left as hard as you can, and you'll flip it.
Oh fuck! Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it goes. One of the interesting things about being away is when you hear from people, sometimes you can be a little bit on edge. So, for instance, if someone's looking after something, or you're expecting some bad news, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, we were a couple of days ago. I just remember this story. I put it into Trello. We were just leaving Nice. This is when we're going into the Uber, and Bree said, "Oh, my mum's calling me on WhatsApp," and then. I'm like, "Well, we're just about to get in the Uber." She's like, "Oh, I'll call her back." And Bree explained, "Hey, I'm just jumping into a taxi," because I'm guessing it's easier to explain than explain what Uber is. And so she did that, and then her mum wrote back, "Call me now," all capital letters and about 4 exclamation marks.
Uh-oh. I would be worried at that point.
Yeah, you would so we were thinking, my mind straight away went to our car, which is in her garage. And I'm like, you know what? Like, I knew it. it's been fucking stolen or something.
JJ didn't renew the insurance. Yeah.
Actually, I think it's up in August, so we better sort that out.
You got insurance?
All my insurance is, so I better do that. Bree said the... Okay, she's just told me the car insurance is done. We should do something about that.
Yeah, definitely.
Bree just sort of like eye-rolled like I should be doing something. Okay, I'll do something about the insurance. But it's in a garage. Hopefully that's... Yeah, it's an
i30. And hopefully the main concern we have... Down.
Yeah. The biggest concern I think we have when you own an i30 is hitting another car. You know, like hitting a Beamer or something and having to pay for that. But anyway, yeah, so Bree calls her straight away and like our hearts are racing, like, oh, what's happened? And Bree's sister-in-law had just given birth. So her brother's wife had just given birth. And although we're like really excited about it and super happy for them, it was also one of those things where I was like, oh, like it could have probably waited like a few minutes.
Yeah, I think with something like that, I think as you get older and people around you are getting older, you've got, a message just saying, Bree, got some great news, give me a call. Like it's...
Yeah. Yeah. Preface it with great news. She was going for, like, Bree's mum said, oh, it was I knew that you'd call straight away. It's like, yeah, because we thought someone had fucking died.
What I've noticed is people, like, as I've got older, is everything all right? Like, I even do it when Amy's been calling me a couple of times. My first thing is everything okay? Like, we are on edge and we don't need capital call me now. That's like... That's a heart attack.
Yeah, it was. And like Bree's already, like Bree takes everything on. So she was sort of like after the call shaking a bit. Like, what just happened?
I have to watch, like I think now as a parent, the least I can do is always be available in terms of to Amy. On jobs I answer and I just, if I can, I just, if it's Amy calling and I just say, is everything, are you all good? Because if it could be Bodhi, you know, I need to go pick him up or something. So it's like, yeah, you are a sort of not, I'm not living a life of fear, but it's like you do, you're just on the lookout. You just need to be present. And so it's, that's a nightmare.
Yeah. But I think it's also maybe just communications online in general, like, you know, messaging, it's just thrown in a whole new ball game for a lot of older people, right? Compared to what they're probably used to having access to.
Oh, yeah. Young kids aren't even, they're not even speaking on the phone anymore. Like, we've got Mason in the office. He's 18. He hates phone calls. Hates them.
Yeah. And it's good to, Mason, if you're listening, phone calls are good. Like, if these skills are the ones that's like, I think it's going to be hard for a lot of people, like with work and all that sort of thing, especially like when I was working at Envato, like we didn't have phones at our desks or anything like that. Yeah. You would Slack people. So I think it's a good skill to have.
Yeah. Yeah. Pick up the phone if that's the first thing that you go to. It's so rare, though. That's not happening. People just jump on the email train, just in those, Slack. People just throwing it around. Jeez.
One of my favorite social media posts I've seen in a while actually happened today. Bree showed me this post from her stepmom on Facebook, and it was a photo. And it said, made this meal tonight, right?
Yeah.
And it's got, it looked amazing. It was like a beautiful, like, slow cooked meal and this beautiful pot. And it was like on a really nice wooden table. And then Bree's like, have you actually seen the photo? I'm like, yeah, it looks great. And she's like, yeah, she's taken a photo of the meal from the cookbook. She hasn't lied. She said, I made this tonight. But then rather than showing the food that she made, she's taken a photo out of fucking Jamie Oliver's book.
That I don't know if you can do that. Classic. Well, I think she's got us on a technicality.
I mean, I guess you did sort of make it tonight.
Yeah, I made this tonight. And then it's like fine print, has the ingredients. You should make it too. That's the best.
Oh, can we just another random update as we go? So Bree's Bree did a nice post about me on Instagram, and then Nicole, one of Bree's friends, said put a ring on it. And Bree, what did you write back, Bree?
I wrote, you've put me on the spot now. I said, if Josh Jansen wasn't so picky with his jewelry, then I would.
So she just made a joke. If Josh wasn't so picky on the jewelry, that I would. And she did a diamond ring emoji. Bree's mum has just written a comment on Instagram saying, what? Oh. She thinks it's a fucking proposal. Instagram post. I think we've got to ban Bree's mum from social. Bree's mum and stepmum cannot be on social media or on fucking WhatsApp. Wow.
That is the best.
That is the best. Yeah. Bree's a bit red. That's okay. These things happen.
Yeah. Wait till the baby announcement that never actually is happening. What's happening, Bree?
she's just said on WhatsApp, she said, haha, I thought engage. And then Bree said, haha, no, as if. And then her mum said, it's been a big week. That would have capped it off.
Oh, well, give her what she wants. Give her what she wants. Get down on one knee, Josh.
You know, I wouldn't be able to get back up. That's the biggest problem. I need to work on my squats before we do that.
Oh, but have you seen anyone? Because you're in places, you've been to pretty much every place that people would take people to propose. Have you seen any proposes?
Yeah.
Proposals?
Proposes? No, I haven't seen any proposals. But yeah, it's very funny. We ended up, we went to like a kebab place for dinner tonight. Kebab.
Speaking of proposal places.
Yeah, exactly. That's where you're going to do it. Look, it would impress Bray, I can tell you that much. But
Did you just get pulled up on how you said kebab?
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is my mate Naysan, who's Persian, he says kebab.
Kebab. And it's probably because they got an accent.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, kebab. That's all it is. It's like, do you say Afghanistan or Afghanistan?
Afghanistan. I say Stan because we're Australian.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, but we ended up sitting next to, like, what happened was we arrive at this kebab joint or however the fuck you want to say it.
Mate, and commit to one. Don't put a caveat on the end of it.
Yeah, no, well, it's so hard not putting caveats when I've got producer Bree on standby, just like watching the show.
Is that a whip that she's got over you?
No, she literally, after, like, I mentioned to her, I'm like, I didn't know how I felt about the me mentioning the Osher Ginsberg thing, because I actually like him. I like what he's doing. I interact with him on social media. I was like, am I a bit of an asshole for just, like, disagreeing with him? And I'm like, nah, I think it's fine. But she was like, yeah, I was listening to that and I didn't know how I felt. I said, what about the Mayor Friedman thing? She's like, nah, I don't like Mayor Friedman either, so I think it's okay.
Well, I think that anything that polarizes people or like makes people feel something, I think it's fair. It's
you should see the look that I'm getting about the Mia comment. Bray loves that. What? Huh? Oh, she's part of a group on Facebook with Mia. That's okay. Right.
Here's the thing, though.
So she does. Like,
if you're in the public eye and you're doing what we're doing, people have a right not to like you, and not liking you doesn't mean it's not the same as saying I don't like my once best friend for all these reasons. It's just like.
Who?
No,
what are you talking about?
But what I'm saying is, like, you know, it's like if you and I became not friends, we weren't friends anymore, and I was like, oh, I hate Josh. It's a bit different. Yeah. I've got a lot of history with you.
Yeah.
Whereas these people, it's like, you know, you get to know them online and you just don't like how they're putting themselves out. But it's not 100%. Like, you're getting a good grasp of who I am through this podcast, but that's okay if you don't like me. We don't like it. You know, you don't have to like everyone. And it doesn't mean that you just like have this anger towards them. But sometimes you might, but it's like you just don't like somebody. It's fine.
Yeah. No, it's true. So on the topic of technology and maybe older people and the way they use technology.
I need to know the kebab shop story.
Oh, the kebab shop.
Just quickly.
Literally, like all that happened was we arrived there and... some local guys saw us straight away and they said, oh, like, we know English. None of these people at the restaurant will, so come sit with us.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they were great, but they were... telling us, oh, we need to order this. Like, they were, mate, like, they paid for their meal, we paid for ours and all that sort of thing. They weren't like, at first I was like a bit like, what's going on here? Like, are they being dodgy? But they were super lovely. But they were like, you need to try this and try this. And they were ordering for us. It was like, it was 66 lira. So it was like probably 12 bucks or something for all of this food.
Epic.
But it was just like, we had had a pretty bad eating sort of time in France. Like,
yeah,
there's bad eating in the sense of when we're in Italy, it was different in the sense of I was having pizza every day. It was really good ingredients. It was, yes, really fresh. Where it's like we'd somehow on our road trip to Nice, we'd gone into like trash bag food territory where it's like, oh, we need some Doritos in the car. And it's like, oh, have you tried these Dames chocolates? And like, oh, no. It's like, oh, we ate them. It's like, oh, that's Bree's fault. And then it's like, oh, this is a thing. Oh, do you know that you can actually, oh, my God, I just found out that at McDonald's you can add Dames to your McFlurry. Should we try that? And so it's like, oh, we'll try that. It's like, oh, my God, did you know that you don't have to get vanilla ice cream in your McFlurry? You can actually just get chocolate. You can get chocolate soft serve. It's like, oh, my God. And so, we're like using these novel excuses just to basically be fat fucks. And so, the annoying thing was these guys were just like, we were sort of, oh, we're just going to have like platters. We're going to keep it fairly lean. Like, we're just going to have our meat and sort of salads and stuff. And they were just like bringing out all this stuff. Like, Brie was drinking this, like, that we had something spicy. So the guy was, like, feeding her with a spoon and they had, like, this,
right,
like, yogurt-style drink. It was pretty outrageous. So, I don't know what the actual story was, but it was just a... That was a funny experience.
Feeding Brie with a spoon.
He was feeding me as well, so I didn't feel so bad. But they were really like stuffing her face. Like, they were really like, keep eating. Like, their kebabs came out first.
Yeah.
And like, they did that awkward thing. They like handed it over for us to have a bite of his kebab, even though we had our own kebab coming.
That's weird.
And so it's like, that's classic. Like, it was a good experience, but Bree's like, oh, yeah, I'm always vibing off you, and your eyes were darting a lot trying to like analyze the situation, what was going on.
Oh, I would have loved to been there and watch that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty awkward, and Bree thinks that she's a bit of a scaredy cat, but for whatever reason, I'm just she's saying shut up. But I'm not a scaredy cat, but I'm very jumpy, and for whatever reason in Istanbul there's all these like must be water bottles or something that has air in them, and cars go over them and make like a loud bang. Like the sort of, remember back in school when people would have Primas?
Oh, yeah.
And they would like jump on them and make a noise in the locker room.
Yeah, big offender.
And a very niche sort of example there.
I love that.
For people who don't, for our overseas audience, Primas are like juice boxes. Yes. So you'd have like so anyway. I've been very jumpy. Anytime there's something bang, like there's a bang, I do just naturally do a jump, and then Brie doesn't react to the bang, but she reacts to me jumping.
Yeah.
So
the weird thing is you're jumpy, but next minute you've got some random bloke feeding you with a spoon.
Yeah.
So this is where your street smart level is, you know, not as
it's
high.
It's a bit out of whack, but it was a it was a great experience. No, the thing is, like, I like to, my vibe on travel is I am analyzing the situation of like, what do I have to lose right now? Yeah. And so even we bought some scarves or whatever for Brie so she can go into the mosques and shit tomorrow. Yeah. And it was the first store we went into, and as a general rule, I wouldn't buy out of a first store. I would like want to actually have, like, to be able to haggle, you need to at least know where to start, the starting point was.
Yeah.
And so they were about, I think, like 25 lira each, about six Australian dollars each, and Brie was getting two of them. And I said, oh, how about 40 lira? Like, so he said 50 lira. I said, oh, how about 40 lira? And then he said 45 lira. I said, okay. Like, it was the softest bargaining or haggling you've ever heard. But then we go next door and, like, a guy has them for, like, 10 or 15 lira. So, we paid more. But I feel like that was one of those examples where it's like, oh, it's, like, low risk. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day. They need the money more than we do. That's what Bree says. But I'm like, hang on. He owns a shop. We don't even own a shop. Like, this guy's not doing too... Like, he's got, like, fucking... Like, does he own that place? Is he leasing? Like, that shit's not cheap.
Yeah, he's actually the boost juice of face scarves. Exactly. He's franchised.
The Janine Ellis of Istanbul doesn't need our money, Bree. You know? Yeah, okay. Bree's still trolling me. But, yeah, no, what I wanted just to say about the technology thing, I feel like I'm just getting out all of the things I've been thinking about of late. But the I was talking to my mate Chris, who we were just traveling with, about people who he works with who have really funny ways of doing email. And he saw that his boss basically had a folder of every single person that he works with. And when he gets an email from them, he drags that email into that person's folder.
Mm. It's not a bad idea. It's not bad to have, you know, your communications with people.
It's dumb. Are you kidding me? It's so dumb because you can sort in Outlook, like, with who emails are from. Yeah. You don't need to put it into a folder.
So it's not storage. It's not. It's
no. Like you. No. You. 100%. It's so dumb. You can search. I can't believe we're even having. Like that was meant to be a huge laugh from you then, and the fact that you didn't is saying a lot.
But hang on. I like creating folders. That's fine. Is it? But like I know, for me, Gmail is a fucking piece of shit when it comes to, like, how it sort of lays everything out. It confuses shit out of me. I'm looking for an email. For 10
it's
minutes.
It's owned by Google. All you need to do is search the shit that's in the email and it will come up.
Yeah, sometimes I'm losing stuff, mate.
Yeah, no, it should never happen.
Mate, but what I wanted to say... I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Wait till you see me on a quad bike. I'll absolutely ruin it. So you've got the email covered and I ruin it on quad bike.
The thing is, you'll never be able to find the reservation for the tour because you won't be able to... You haven't created a folder structure for the reservations. But it did remind me of my boss when I worked at the fire brigade. He would actually... This is no joke. He had all of these physical folders. And every time he received an email, he would print out the email and put it into a plastic pocket.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that outrageous?
That will cause fires.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but I was just like, I used to always be like, what does this dude do? Like, what is... I remember having that, like, he was in... When I was working there, he was a lot older than me. He's probably double my age or whatever. I remember, like, I was a trainee and I was having these conversations with him. This is when I was 19 and I was saying to him, like, hey, I'll just make up a name so I don't use his real name. George, why, like... You know, if you don't like it, why are you still here? Why don't you? He's just like, yeah, you know, like I just, you know, it's harder when you have a family and stuff like that. Oh. But he used to spend his time printing off there. And so when we'd have meetings and stuff, he'd be flicking through these folders to find emails.
Jeez. Oh, no. Poor guy. I wonder if he's still there. Yeah,
he probably is. And like... Yeah, it's pretty... he's probably still got those... Maybe something's going to happen to the internet and then it's going to be worth something, all of the emails that he has. But I actually, just on a bit of trivia, I think that the way Google started initially, the founders were trying to create a copy of the internet.
Really?
Yeah, I think they were trying to actually store... everything that's online, but that would be really, really expensive if you think about the amounts of terabytes, millions of or billions or trillions of terabytes of internet data we have.
Jesus. That is weird. Yeah. I've needed some technical help here. I won't get into it. But, yeah, definitely hanging around you, you do realise how inept you are.
Do you want me to, quickly troubleshoot it? Or?
Mate, I'll just tell you, I troubleshooted myself. But I was putting in the right fucking password for my email and it just wasn't working.
But it was this is a Richard Jansen sort of... you're sounding like my dad.
I know, so I'm going to leave it there. All right? Now I'm going to go get back into my quad bike and own it.
Yeah, just reset the password. Actually, Russ Keys did mention we were talking about Google Trends the other day being able to see... You can basically search trends and see if people are still... when it peaked, when people were talking about it. But he also mentioned... Wayback Machine, which is sort of like a smaller version of, I guess, what I was talking about with what Google was doing, but they've basically archived a bunch of the internet. So you can go back. If you type in Wayback Machine into Google, you can actually find old websites that you may have made or that you went to, and you can select a date and you can actually render that website from that time.
So it's just it takes a screenshot of each page of the website.
Well, it's not even that. It actually loads up the code and stuff like that. So some things are broken sometimes, but that's really cool.
And what it won't do is flash websites, because I had one and and you can't access it, which is annoying.
Was that the one that you spent $10,000 on the website?
What an idiot!
What an investment.
I know.
Did you think that was a good investment? That was for your stripper business, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it worked. We got business through it, but it was slow, and so...
Was it something that you had to press your clothes and they would slowly come off or something? Like something you could only do in Flash?
No, I think it was just a video. It had our logo, which was neon looking, and it kind of fizzed in. You know, it was turning the neon.
Fizzed in.
Fizzed in, a piece of TNT with a wick on the end, and it sort of burnt in and then sort of turned on. It was great. Anyway, it's all gone. Right. It's gone.
I'm feeling a bit hyperactive today, if you haven't noticed.
Yeah, I know. Sugar?
It's all the food. It's sugar.
It's what was on the spoon that guy was feeding you with.
Exactly. Yeah, I was probably on some sort of speed. But no, I was been eating a lot of Turkish delights as well.
Fuck, he's got,
be part of it.
He's got a JJ food diary update. Let's let's finish with that.
That's the time to wrap it up. It's the Daily Talk Show, everyone. Tomorrow, we're chatting to Jules Lund, and we talk about a lot of things, including... the blow up. We talk about when I decided to tell a client on set, one of your clients, that I wouldn't be working with them again.
it's happened a few times. It's the JJ blow up.
But I think it's only happened once, hasn't it?
Well, once in my presence.
Once in your presence. And I feel like I'm getting better at the blow up thing. But we talk all things business and. Jules gives us a good insight on how hard it is to run a business like he's doing at the moment with Tribe.
Yeah, it's interesting chat. We'll catch you next week, guys.
It's the Daily Talk Show, everyone. Hi at thedailytalkshow.com if you want to send us an email. And it's only not long, TJ, until we'll be in the US as well, October. So, and then we'll be back in Melbourne, shows in person, which I'm very excited about. Have a good one, guys. See ya.